right, guys, we're going to do something a little radical right now. I know. Send me away for a couple weeks. Look out. Shaking it up. If you are, and I'm not going to have you do this in front of the entire church, like pray in front of the entire church, but if you're comfortable praying in a small group of people out loud, would you raise your hand? Okay, so what I want you to do is to kind of get together. Get together around somebody who has their hand raised that's comfortable praying out loud, and I want you to gather with them, and a couple of people pray for the message time, and pray for me, okay, and pray for yourselves, okay? So I'm just going to ask you to do that. Take a couple minutes, and then I'll kind of start praying and gathering everybody back together. So you can kind of, you know, gather together and pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask and pray that you would lead and guide our time. Thank you that you heard every prayer in this room at the same time. Thank you that it's your desire to answer those prayers. And Lord, we ask and pray for your blessing and your spirit to be poured out on our time together today. Lord, quicken our hearts to hear you. Lord, I pray too that it would just be the things that of you that come out of my mouth and that last. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. My slides won't have anything to do with what I'm going to say. So we had one of those probably rare moments for me where it's kind of like we're changing the message. Spent a lot of time on that message too. I think there's some good things in there, but just not for today, I guess. So there is a Shane and Shane song that has the following lyrics. It says, it's called Without You. It says, I can walk through the storm. I can walk by faith when my sight is gone, just as long as you are here with me. And I can gain everything, but what do I have if I don't have the King? Oh, I need to know you're here with me. Here I am calling out, Father. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I don't want to go without you. Here I am. Can you talk a little louder so I can hear you? I want to hear you. I don't want to move without you. Even though I believe you've taken up a home inside of me and you'll never leave, I still need to know you're here with me. Here I am calling out, Father. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I don't want to go without you. Here I am. Can you talk a little louder so I can hear you? I want to hear you. I don't want to move without you. If your presence goes, I don't want to stay. If your presence stays, I don't want to go. And then it goes on. And this song was born out of Exodus in chapter 33, where Moses has the following experience. So if you have your Bibles there, go ahead and turn on your device or in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 33. Just starting in verse 1, I have no idea where this is going to take us. I'm just kind of stepping out of the boat here, okay, on a couple of things that are on my heart. And we might be done in 5 minutes. We might be done in 50 minutes. I don't really know. So just what I ask is, as I'm speaking, I pray that you would continue in your heart to kind of pray like Aaron and Hur, who were lifting up Moses' arms as the battle was going on, okay? So it says here in Exodus 33, verse 1, it says, the Lord said to Moses, depart. Go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your offspring, I will give it. I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go up among you, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. And so here we have, God's wanting to send his people onto the promised land. He's going to keep that promise, you know, that they will enter into this promised land rest. But he's saying, I'm not going to go with you. I'll send an angel with you. But I myself am not going to go because I'm tired of the way you're behaving, basically, is what he's saying. I'm tired of kind of your heart. It's crusty. You know, another way of saying is that it's you're a stiff-necked people and kind of unbending, right? Unwilling, unsurrendering, if you will, right? And so then it says in verse 4, when the people heard this disastrous word, they mourned, and no one put on his ornaments. For the Lord said to Moses, say to the people of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. If for a single moment I should go up among you, I would consume you. So now take off your ornaments that I may know what to do with you. Therefore the people of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments from Mount Horeb onward. Verse 7, now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise up, and each would stand at his tent door and watch Moses until he had gone into the tent. Verse 9, when Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent. The Lord would speak with Moses, and when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, each at his tent door. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And when Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Now we have Moses' intercession, verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, Lord, please show me now your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. And he said, My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. So Moses is kind of reminding God, right, of what he said before, and he's hoping to have favor with God, that God might change his mind, right? And he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? Isn't it interesting there that he says it's the presence of God, right, that makes them distinct from anyone else? It's like, Lord, you're the one that makes us different from every other people, right? And we don't want to go if you're not going, right? And I just think that's just the attitude that's expressed in this song there. It's what Moses was saying. God, I don't want to go if you're not, we don't want you to go without us. We don't want to go somewhere where you're not going. And I was just thinking that this is a good fear to have for a church family, to say, Lord, you know, when it comes to our decisions and our direction and our plans, we don't want to go where you're not leading us to go, right? I mean, that should be a healthy fear, right? And so, and also just take it down to your own personal family, your own personal life, right? To say, Lord, let me sense your direction. I don't want to make decisions that would dishonor you. I want to love you with my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and everything I'm doing. And so there's that healthy fear, right, of basically saying, Lord, I want to do what's pleasing to you. And yes, we know now, right, in the New Testament, after Christ has come, that God's presence is not dwelling in a particular building, right, like it was in the tent of meeting, and then the tabernacle, which was to be our subject today, was kind of the preparations for the building of Solomon's temple, all right? And then, you know, which was an incredible, glorious building, and then God's presence fills it, right, that place. His glory goes into that place. And at some point later, it departs because of God's people, and God's people are exiled because of their disobedience, and then that temple is destroyed, and then there's a rebuilding of it, and some of you may remember in the Old Testament where people are kind of weeping and saying, it's not as good as the first one. They're kind of weeping as that other rebuilding of this temple is not as good as the first one. But actually, God told the people, his people, that no, there would be a greater glory in that temple, that rebuilt temple. Do you know who that glory was? Jesus Christ. The day that Jesus was dedicated as a child in that temple was the day that the glory of God, the greatest glory than any other has seen, entered that temple, right? But now, as believers, right, we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. We are that way individually, but also we are that way as his people, a group, okay? In 1 Corinthians 3 and in 1 Corinthians 6, it mentions those concepts that we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so it's not like God's presence goes away from us in a sense that, you know, he leaves us and then comes back, really. But there is I believe that there is a sense where God still does kind of, in addition to the indwelling spirit that we have, that his spirit does work and move and sometimes manifest himself in ways, in different ways, different times. And it's not like you can flip it on with a switch and say, you know, Holy Spirit, do this for me. And it's not like that. But the idea, I guess what I'm kind of trying to relate this Exodus 33 incident with our own lives to say, you know, do we have this holy fear of God that says, Lord, I really want your presence to be filling my life in the fullest way possible. I want to go where you want me to go. Sometimes God gives us specific direction on things that are not explicitly stated in the Scripture. Sometimes he doesn't, okay? Well, there's a whole other topic about, you know, God's will and that kind of thing. I think that we need to focus on the things that we know what he clearly says in Scripture as God's will. And as we pray for direction individually as in a church on things, then we ought to be willing to do whatever it is he shows us if he does show us something specific. And I really think it's that willingness that we need to have more and more of. And I guess I can't speak for every person here, but I would just ask you to say, you know, are you willing to do whatever God wants you to do in your family, in your marriage, in your dating life, in your finances, in your work, how you work? Are you willing to do whatever it is he wants you to do there and to live out his calling on your life, whatever that might be? And so that's kind of like a big unknown prayer, isn't it? To say, Lord, whatever you want, right? But I feel like when I ask that question, that some of you already have an idea what he wants you to do. Like, if I ask, okay, what is it, you know, if I ask you to pray, Lord, what do you want me to do? Some of you may already know what he wants you to do, but maybe you're afraid to act on what he's telling you to do. What he maybe is not explicitly said in Scripture that he wants you to do. Maybe some secret sin comes to mind that you've kind of covered up and it's really inhibiting you from experiencing the fullness of Christ in your life. And it's kind of like you're half in the world and half out. You know, and you're starting to go this way, and God says, I'm not going that way. That's not the way I'm going. Yeah, if you're a Christian, he's in you, but I'm just saying, you know, in that sense that you're not in his will, because if you know you're doing something that's not pleasing to him, it's not in his will. In that sense, he's not going with you. And so this morning, one of the things I just wanted to lay on us is to say, we need to ask God to give us a holy fear, to want to do what he wants us to do, and to be afraid not to do it. Does that make sense? And that's healthy. That's God honoring. That's that willingness. That, you know, if you seek the Lord and say, Lord, I want to do whatever you think needs fixed in my parenting. You know, or if something you know is not in alignment with God. And maybe you don't even know it. Maybe there's just, can I use the word ignorance? There's just, you don't know. You don't know any better. You haven't seen anything better. You don't know what God's word says about something. But he'll show you, right, if you're willing. If you seek the Lord and you're willing to do that. Related to this, okay, so there's this big idea of, I'm asking is that you, before the Lord, would pray that we as a church and our leadership, I'm not saying that we're not doing this, but I'm just saying I feel like this, I need to ask you to pray for our church that we would go where God wants us to go. And that means, like, whatever, the plans we have, you know, that we would hear from God if he has something specific for us as a church family, and then for yourselves, your life, your family, that you would kind of let the Lord examine you, right? In a sense, kind of maybe take some time this week and set before God in silence and saying, Lord, as I come to your word this week, show me if there's anything, like it says in Psalm 139, anything that's hurtful in me, anything that's not in alignment with you. And, you know, we're all going to find things, okay? Because we're broken. And we're not going to be totally fixed until Jesus comes back. I mean, so we got to realize we're flawed people. Yes, with the Holy Spirit, hopefully making progress in our holiness towards, you know, growing in our faith and growing in Christ's likeness, but it's still flawed all along the way, right? But I think that what we need to be asking the Lord to give us individually and as a church is just that we're quick to repent. We're quick to turn away as the Lord shows us things. But it might be even be attitudes. It might be a lifestyle that we're living that we know we need to turn from, right? And so I think as we do that, and when we do that as individuals and as a church, it helps. It certainly makes the things that God has called us to do, they're more effective when we do them. You know, I was looking at... Has anybody here ever chopped down a tree with an axe? Okay. How's it go when that blade's not sharp? It goes real slow, doesn't it? Right? Or even a chainsaw, same thing. If the chain's not sharp, it's going to take a while to get through that. And so the work is so much harder, right? Ecclesiastes says, if the iron, or other translations say, if the axe is blunt, and one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength. But wisdom helps one to succeed. That's probably where they got, you know, work smarter, not harder, right? But I think this applies also just to our lives as believers. Sharpening the axe is being connected to Jesus Christ and communing with him. And that's where we get our life. That's where we get our strength. That's where we get our direction, right? Is from the Lord Jesus in our relationship with him. And so we can be doing all kinds of necessary ministry things, or you might be a ministry leader in a small group, and doing all the things that you need to be doing, but we won't be as effective as we could be if our axe is not sharp, if our personal walk with Jesus is not vibrant and is not full of the Lord. Because there can be a lot of activity, but if it's not God directed, or if we're doing it in our own strength and not also with the strength of the Lord, there'll be minimal effect, right? Minimal, just like chopping that tree with a dull axe. And so where this takes us is basically to John 15 with abiding. As you take a look there, so go to the Gospel of John, verse 15. Verse 1, John 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And probably a very familiar passage to some of us. But this abiding is this being connected to Jesus. You know, we are in relationship with him, but we need to remain in him and really focus in on that relationship with him. We need to spend time with him. We need to talk to him and he to us. Through his word and through prayer. And these are, I know these are very foundational things. But when they're not happening, and when we kind of go through and we check the devotional box, and it's just kind of we're going through the thing that we need to do, then really we end up doing ministry, living our Christian lives from a place of weakness. Now, I totally get it. Yeah, we're all weak, and we, you know, Paul says to boast in our weaknesses. I get that. But we don't want to be spiritually weak in the sense that we're stopped getting our nutrients from the Lord, and we're not having good times with him and in the Word of God and prayer and all those things that feed our soul. So I guess what I wonder is, and this is a question I can't answer for everyone, I just ask you to ask yourself, you know, are you like spiritually fasting? Like, is the Word of God feeding your life? Are you talking to Jesus in your prayer time? Are you spending time with him? And because that is the place that we get the nutrients we need, right? So that if we want to live lives that have a kingdom impact, right, we've got to be tuned up and filled up by the Holy Spirit. And that's going to happen as Mary sit at the feet of Jesus, right? And we listen to him, we spend time with him, and we're so busy. We're so busy. And we let that busyness crowd out the most important thing in our lives. And that's our relationship with Jesus. And sitting at his feet and And I know that might sound like strange language, but that's, again, that's our time with the Lord, where we pray to Him, we are interact with the Lord through His Word, and maybe even in silence to say, Lord, show me what you have for me here, speak to my heart, examine me, right? And as we do that, He shows us things, He loves us. He, you know, it's not like He's going to say, oh, yeah, there's these five things, and then He's going to not like us anymore. He knows everything. He knows all that. But He's kind of waiting for us to come with that willingness, that surrender. And sometimes, tragically, we don't wake up until God puts the hurt on us. You know what I'm talking about? The discipline of God coming in our life. The world, our world crashes, our marriage falls apart. Could be all kinds of things, you know, just whatever it might be. And we wonder why it's all so hard. And sometimes it's because we've walked away from God in some area of our life, thinking that it's okay to have one foot in, one foot out with Jesus. But the Bible says God's a jealous God, right? He wants all of you, right? And He wants you to spend time with Him. And so I encourage you this week, as you think about this, you know, it says you can't bear fruit unless you abide or remain in Jesus. You know, you just can't. We cannot bear fruit, character fruit, people fruit, you might say, you know, people coming to Christ, growing, unless we're abiding in the vine. But so many times this is really what happens. I sometimes don't consciously think it, but the way I operate is in that I can bear fruit if I guess sprinkle a little bit of Jesus devotional in my life and really not seeking Him wholeheartedly and wanting to hear from Him. I really think it's in the wanting. I really do. I don't think it's about the amount of time. I mean, I think that grows with it, but I'm just saying, it's just really wanting to hear from God, wanting to be nourished by Him. And if your want to isn't there, you got to ask for the want to, right? You say, Lord, break through in my heart. Break it up. Break up my hard heart so that I want to be with you. And so this, I guess what I'm asking and what I'm, this is kind of a preaching a prayer, is basically saying, you know, don't go where God's not leading you. We don't want to go as a church where God's not leading us. Be afraid not to go where God not is leading. Okay? Now, we could spend a lot of time on how do you do planning and how do you do decision making within that frame and context. But all I'm saying today is just simply that willingness. It's kind of that open-handedness, coming to God with an open hand, saying, God, whatever you want to do, I'm willing to do it. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to say to so-and-so, whatever you want me to change, whatever you want me to repent of, whatever you want me to stop doing, whatever you want me to start doing, it's all on the table. All on the table, right? And that's kind of what Moses was doing. He's kind of saying, whoa, God, whoa, you know, don't send us out there if you're not going with us. Whatever it's going to take here, you know, so that you would go with us. That's what we want. That's what we want, right? And so, growing in our walk with the Lord Jesus, getting back to the axe analogy, we want our swings to count, you know? Every year that goes by, man, it just goes like that the older you get. I know I sound like the old guy right now because I am. But I'm just saying, so you realize then, so when we take aim, we want it to be with God's blessing and direction and in our own lives and in the life of our church. And so we need everybody praying for the church. Okay? We need, you know, when it talks about the body of Christ, right? How every member is critical to the operation of the body. That's so true. I mean, but we don't sometimes believe that because they think, it doesn't really matter. You know, church can, it's going to be fine if I don't do this or whatever, or this, that, the other, or whatever. No. Or it won't matter if I let this slide in my life. I used to talk to Achan and his family about that. It matters, right? Your walk with God as a part of this church, it matters to the church. It matters to the effectiveness of the church. It matters, so that our axe is sharpened, so that whatever ministry things we do are going to have an impact. Whatever that impact might be. I mean, I don't have a presumed outcome. I'm just saying, we want our swings to count, don't you? Our church has limited resources, people and money, just like you do. We have limited time, right? And so we want how we are doing things to be done in a way that's effective. And I'm saying the most effective way to do ministry is by being connected to Jesus Christ, having a vital walk with him, spending time. If we don't spend time with Jesus in the Word of God and prayer, and I'll tell you, if anybody here is not sure how to do that, I would be happy to set up an appointment with you or with my wife and I, whatever, and we would be happy to show you a way to spend time with God. Because that's the most important thing, aside from getting saved, that you can do, is to grow in that relationship. So I leave that open to you. So the last thing I just want to share as we talk about spending time with the Lord, to just emphasize that, I can't emphasize enough, that is where it's at. It sounds so trivial. It sounds like, yeah. It is the most important thing for our church that you have a vital walk with Jesus. And if all you do is walk in and out of that door on a Sunday morning and maybe attend a small group and you don't spend any time with the Lord Jesus, you're missing it. You're missing it. It's not happening. You're not connected to the vine. You're not abiding. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, be the last verse I share, I think. It's interesting because it really does relate to the whole Moses thing. When Moses met with Jesus, right? He had, when Moses met with the Lord, right? It transformed his appearance. You remember that? And they actually, the glory of the Lord kind of was shining on him, and they had to kind of put a veil over his face, right? And because it was a transformation there. So when you look in verse 15, 2 Corinthians 3:15, he says, yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. This is talking about, this veil of kind of blocking, a veil that's blocking something. It says, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. So there you get the analogy how he's using the veil, is saying there's a veil over our heart if I don't know the Lord, but when the light's turned on, the veil's removed, right? And now I'm kind of speaking, and now I'm face to face with the Lord. I've got this relationship, right? It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all with unveiled face, right, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Isn't that interesting? From one degree of glory to another. He says, we all, with unveiled face, because we don't have a veil over separating us between us and God anymore, we have a relationship with him, but I want to submit to you that as we spend time with God, as we spend time with him, again, in this open-handed way, Lord, you know, speak to me, show me what you want, I come, you know, worship him, then there is a transformation. It says, beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. There's something transformational that occurs as we continue to meet with the Lord, and he meets with us, okay? I'm not saying that your face beams when you walk away from your devotional time. Maybe it does, but we need to seek the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to meet with you, and I want you to change me, right? And that change doesn't always come just from being passive, okay? Transformation occurs as the Lord shows me things too, that I step out and do them, and then the transformation occurs. But I do think those that have a close walk with the Lord, it's noticeable. I say we all look differently, okay? But I mean, when you get to know them, there's a difference there. There's a difference there. They have got a close walk with God. And that's just my heart for all of us, that we would all, I'm not saying I'm there. I'm a person in process like every person here. And so let's just close in prayer this morning, and we're just going to ask, I know this was very different than normal, but I'm just asking that the Lord would use these passages in our lives for our church and for your family. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Based on your Son, Jesus Christ, it's because of him we can come right into the presence, your presence there. There's no longer this huge veil that, like there was in the temple, separating us from you. We can come right in. And Lord, you invite us to come in. So through prayer, we're coming into you now. We're asking, Lord, that our church family would be a place where the presence of God would be known in whatever way you want it to be known, Lord. And that each and every one of us, as members of the body of Christ, that we would be learning and pressing in to know what it means to abide, to remain connected to the vine, to get our nutrients, and then the fruit that comes out of it is just, we're bearing the fruit. We're not cranking it out on our own power. Might be the fruit of the Spirit, Lord, as we spend time with you, as you show us things, Lord, we want to be filled with your Spirit, and therefore the fruit of the Spirit, and in a sense that when we're with other people, we're able to love them the way they need to be loved. And it's almost like they could be picking the fruit right off of us because it's so evident. The love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and all the fruit of the Spirit, Lord. Just as we spend time with you, as we come to you open-handed now and say, Lord, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to say to me, say it. And I want to receive it, believe it, act on it, whatever the appropriate response would be. Lord, help us to come to you this week, every time we meet with you individually or even with others, that we would come wanting to hear from you, coming open-handed and surrendered. You would have your way. And Lord, we pray that you'd make our church fruitful in whatever kind of fruit you want us to bear. But we want to bear fruit for you. We want to Love the way you want us to love others. Love our neighbor. But we've got to love you first, because we've got to have a place of getting filled up if we're going to give it out. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So just to encourage you guys that keep thinking about that Ecclesiastes 10:10, that you don't want to be living your walk with Christ, you know, in a way that's a dull axe, like trying to chop a tree. You want to have to be filled up with God, so that whatever things you'll face that day, you can face it with the right attitude, have the right response, and maybe ministry opportunities God gives you, that you'll be dialed into that because you're walking in the Spirit, and that He would give you the courage, you know, when you need the courage, and that He would be with you, right? In that sense, beyond the sense that He's in you already, but that you're wanting to go where He wants you to go, and you're wanting to do what He wants you to do. Just that open-handedness before God this week, okay? God bless you, and hopefully you can hang out at the picnic today, okay? See you later.